Okay, we're going to hear from one of our PA platform coaches today, Peter. He is a family medicine PA and a pre-PA coach, but he has a really great story of how he got into PA school, and we get such great feedback on his coaching that you're going to want to listen for his tips.
Welcome to the Pre-PA Club podcast. If you want to learn how to become a physician assistant, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Savannah Perry. Let's get to it.
Hey guys, welcome to the Pre-PA Club podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm so happy to have you here listening so that you get to meet Peter, who is one of our coaches. One thing I'm really proud of at the PA platform is all of our coaches are PAs. We only use practicing PAs because I think it's just really important that someone who is helping you and mentoring you has been through every step of the process. And we've never advertised for coaches. Everyone who works with us is somebody who just genuinely wanted to do it and reached out for some reason. So Peter has been with us for a while now, I would say over a year. Things just, you know, blend together and fly by. But he works in family medicine. He is someone who, you know, I think some people will say they want to do family medicine and say that they're passionate about it, but maybe they don't mean that. And Peter really means it, which you're going to hear in hearing him talk about his job and his role. And we talk about collaboration with physicians and what that looks like. So we just get into a lot of great stuff, talking about his journey to becoming a PA, what PA school was like, and then also his job now. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Peter does our mock interviews and will likely be doing some general counseling soon. So you can check out the PA platform if you want to work with Peter or any of our other coaches. And don't forget that you can use the code FUTUREPA for a discount on any of those services. And if you have questions, always feel free to reach out as well. So let's hear from Peter. I think you're going to enjoy this. And I would love to hear your feedback on Instagram, especially if you've worked with Peter in the past.
My name is Peter Alfano. I'm originally from Salem, New Hampshire. And once I came time to attend undergrad, I went to the University of New England in Biddeford, Maine, where I majored in medical biology, pre-physician assistant. And while I was in high school, I had gotten my EMT certification. So I worked as an EMT throughout that time. That was where I got my patient contact. And then when the time came to attend PA school, I went to MCPHS University in Manchester, New Hampshire. And then I graduated from there in December of 2017. So I've been a PA a little approaching 4 years now. My first job was in Belchertown, Massachusetts, doing adult primary care. And I stayed there for about 3 years. And then in June of last year, I started my second job just to be a little closer to family. So now I work at a private practice in North Chelmsford, Massachusetts, and I do family primary care. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Okay. I'm very interested that your school had a pre-PA track or major. That's really cool because a lot of schools don't have that. What did that mean, or kind of what did they help with? Was that mainly just, you know, streamlining classes or kind of other stuff too?
Yeah. So UNE in Maine is like a huge health science program. So they draw pre-pharmacy, nursing, they have an osteopathic medicine school, so pre-PA. So the pre-PA major was almost identical to the pre-med major. I think the two differences were you didn't have to take OCHEM 2, and the biochemistry class was like slightly less advanced. So it was okay. Essentially pre-med, but it guaranteed that you would meet all the prereqs for any PA program in the country. So it was a good fit.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. I just was talking to another coach, Emma, and she said she actually asked her advisor for, like, I want to do pre-PA major. And her advisor was like, that does not exist, which even at my school at UGA, it did not exist. So that's just funny that you say, like, that's what you did, because some schools do have that. What kind of brought you to medicine and to the PA profession?
Yeah, so Originally, actually wanted to be an optometrist, believe it or not. And I want to say it was the summer between 8th and 9th grade was when I started that mindset. I had gone to my eye doctor's appointment. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, wow, this is great. This is so cool. She gets to use all the fancy equipment. And I came out of there with my first pair of contacts and I could see, and I was just like, wow, this is great. This is so impactful. Like, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to be an eye doctor. And so my first 2.5 years of college, like that was, or high school, I should say, that was my kind of what I was pursuing. And then when I junior year, I took a health occupations class junior year of high school, again, thinking I was going to be an optometrist. And then I learned about this PA profession. And I just thought it was so interesting how, you know, yes, maybe I'll get to look at eyes, but also get to do a lot more than that. Much broader scope of practice, 6 years of post-college or post-high school education. It was a hugely growing profession at the time. It still is. And so just kind of all those things made me switch gears junior year of high school. And I just kind of stayed steady. It made it a lot easier that when I started college, I had known that was what I was pursuing. I know a lot of the students that we work with, it's a little bit more challenging when they figure it out a little bit later. They have to maybe take more classes or stay a little later or things like that. But I was fortunate that that was really my mindset from day one of college.
Nice. Yeah. And that does give a huge advantage just because there's so many requirements for PA school that if you figure it out later, it definitely can be a time crunch to get everything done. But I feel like the students that we work with, like their applications are so impressive. And these days, I don't know if I would get into PA school. I would have had to do a lot more and work a lot harder, I think, to make it happen. So did you take a gap year or did you apply so that you could go straight into PA school?
Yeah, so I applied the summer of 2015. So it was right before, but between my junior and senior year. So, and at the time I did not think I was going to get in at all. I was just, because, you know, you go through college here and PA school is so hard. It's so hard to get in. So that was kind of my mindset. And so I was basically like, okay, I'm going to apply. And my goal for this cycle is if I get one interview, then that was a successful cycle. It'll be good practice. And then it'll set me up for next year when I am serious about getting in.
Practice run.
Yeah, that was exactly my intention because I had good grades. I had shadowing of several PAs. I had a letter of rec from a PA, but my problem was I was very young. I was 21 and I did not have a lot of experience. I did not have a lot of patient contact at all. I had less than, I want to say 700 hours, which is nowadays probably pretty hard to get away with. But that was what I had. And so I thought they were basically going to look at me and say, you know, we like you, but come back in another year when you have more experience. So I applied to my 8 schools, something like that, 8, 7, I don't know.
Okay.
And they were all in the New England area. And I get my first interview was for Arcadia University in Delaware. And I just remember being so nervous beforehand, you know, knowing that a lot of the people around me were going to be older and more experienced and maybe have had other interviews. So, you know, I showed up, the whole drive from Maine to Delaware, I was practicing in the car, practicing out loud. And then, you know, when the time came and I get out of the interview afterwards, I was thinking like, geez, I don't want to jinx it, but I think that went pretty well. Like, I could have done anything different. And so then, a couple weeks later, I got the acceptance and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm going to be a PA a year earlier than I thought. And that was a big, I mean, I don't know if you remember your first acceptance, but that's, it's a big relief. And so I eventually ended up, I interviewed at 2 more schools and got into those. And my number one school was MCPHS. So once I got that acceptance, I ended up withdrawing from the schools that I still hadn't heard from.
Nice. I mean, it definitely feels good to just get an interview invite, but then to get that actual acceptance, it's like a huge weight is lifted and you just finally feel like you can move forward. But that's really impressive. And that's kind of a good example too. So like my advice to people is if you meet the requirements, even if you feel like, you know, somebody's gonna be better, or I could make my application better, go ahead and apply because you just never know. And they're looking for so many different things that, you know, it can happen. Since you kind of had the benefit of interviewing at different programs, seeing different programs and choosing, what were you looking for? Like what made you choose MCPHS and going into it? Was that your top choice or did that change throughout the process?
I think I had originally intended to, maybe if I got in to go to UNE, I ended up getting into UNE, I was thinking my original plan was I'll just go to the same school for 6 years, but I ended up not because I just got a really warm vibe. Not that I didn't get one from UNE, but I just got a really warm vibe from them. I was like, this will be a good fit. Plus the fact that it was, you know, 30 minutes away from my parents' house meant that I could just live with them for 2 years, saved a ton of money. And you know, a couple other things that stood out were just the fact that they had a December graduation date, which meant I wasn't going to have to be competing with everybody else that graduated in May or July. And then they also had, they were linked with the Worcester, Massachusetts campus, meaning that they would basically, I know like electronic or tele-education now is a big thing, but back then it wasn't. And so the professor teaching would either be on the Manchester or the Worcester campus. And so sometimes your lectures would be in person. Sometimes you'd be watching them on a huge screen, which was, for me, that was a perk because it meant that instead of having, you know, 10 faculty members with their own specialties, now we had 20 and you weren't going to have to compromise. You know, they basically had some of every specialty. So those are kind of the things that drew me to it. But I think I would have gotten a good education anywhere. Really what it came down to in the end was the location and just the cost savings was huge.
Yeah, no, that is a huge difference. How long was the program and how many students?
It was 24 months. It started in January and went continuously till December of the following year.
Okay.
The longest break we had was probably 2.5 weeks in the summer. And it was, I think we had a little under 40 students on each campus. It was technically accredited as one program. So I guess we had, I don't know, 75 students, but I had 40 or so classmates that I was really close with. And it was 9 rotations, 5 weeks each.
Okay.
And they were all in New England. I was lucky that I was basically able to commute to all of mine, two elective rotations.
Okay. So since you didn't take a gap year, did you graduate in May and then have off until January to start school? Is that how that
works?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have like very similar tracks. So I had the same thing. I graduated in December and started in May. And that little break was so great.
It was
great because I was accepted. So like I didn't have to worry about school stuff, but then like I could get ready. So I feel like that's not necessarily something people can set up very easily, but it was really great.
because at the time I graduated from college, had I gone to one of those other schools, I would have been starting in a couple weeks. And at the time I didn't own a car, like I didn't have enough savings to probably even put down for an apartment. I wouldn't have been ready to start. And I'm sure I would have made it happen, but I'm glad I had, you know, 7 months to figure it all out.
Kind of prepare. Yeah. So once you got into school, how was that transition process from undergrad to PA school? Was that pretty smooth for you or were there areas that you struggled in doing that?
It was challenging in the beginning. You know, I had gone in, you know, you hear, oh, PA school is really hard, really hard. So I was just thinking, okay, I'll just work really hard. And if I'm not getting the grades I want, I'll just spend more time studying. That was what I did in undergrad. That worked. But the problem is in PA school, as you know, you basically run out of time. Like there comes to the point where you can't just study for more hours because there's not enough hours to do that. So you just have to be smarter with how you study. And that was a little rough for me because having been successful in undergrad and worked hard, I didn't coast at all. I worked hard and it was successful. And for that not to work anymore, that was a little discouraging. I think it wasn't a very long transition, but it was discouraging. I think the first test I ever took was a pharmacology class. And I think I got like a 77 or something on the exam. It was terrible. I was so discouraged. I was like, wow, this is bad. Because I basically had the mindset that it's probably only going to get harder from the first exam. And so if I'm already starting with a 77, this is really bad. And it was discouraging. I remember the next day, during class, I was not paying attention to the lecture. I was sitting in the back of the classroom on my laptop, like researching backup careers because I was just so discouraged. I was like, I got to figure out my plan B. So I was researching and And during this lecture, I hear the girl that was like sitting, like, I was probably Googling like what, how much money does an accountant make or something. Like I was not doing anything related to class.
Give it
but
up.
I hear the girl in front of me was talking how she had organized a small study group and they were meeting after school. I was like, okay, this is probably something I probably have nothing to lose at this point. And so I asked her, you know, hey, can I join you? And I did. And I found that to be really tremendously helpful, just going to, you know, speaking out loud, asking questions of other students, or if I didn't know the answer, one of them would. So, you know, having those resources, I made other changes too. I started doing, making like Quizlet flashcards. I became a lot better at predicting what was going to be on the exam and what wasn't. When I was an undergrad, I would just memorize everything, but you can't do that in PA school. You have to eventually develop that sense of what's going to be on the test. What do I actually need to take away from this? And so I ended up doing a lot better. I think on the second test, I got like a 96 or something. And then after that, by the time I get to the first semester, I was like, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be a PA. I just had to, had to figure it out.
Got your groove in. And I think it does usually take, I feel like, a semester or two to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Cause it's just so fast and so much. And it's just like parts of it, I felt like weren't even harder than undergrad. I feel like some things were harder in undergrad, but it was just the volume. And like I think you phrased it perfectly. I've never really heard anybody say it like that. Like you just run out of time. Like it's not that I'm not capable of learning this. I just don't have time to do it.
And yeah, that was what and the other big difference too, is that, like, I agree. I think my anatomy class in undergrad was harder than PA school. I think O-Chem was a lot harder than pharmacology. There were some classes in undergrad that were harder, but the problem is in undergrad, you're not just taking intense science classes. You're taking your art classes and your music and sociology. And so that's like your easy A classes. But in PA school, there's no easy A classes. Like every class is a huge investment of time.
Yeah, and they all matter, and pharma is so hard. that was my hardest class for sure. Okay, so when you were in PA school, did you feel like you would end up in family practice, or is that something you figured out while you're in school?
Yeah, I didn't know at all at first. I had been thinking maybe orthopedics. I had shadowed an orthopedic PA, and I thought it was interesting, and I ended up, that was one of my electives actually, was orthopedics, but it was really... it was until I started my clinical year that I kind of figured it out. You know, you go from rotation to rotation, hoping that you'll find one that kind of speaks to you. And I want to say family med was my fourth rotation. And I remember by like the second day, I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is what I'm doing the rest of my life. And I still was open-minded with the rest of the rotations, but I knew that was eventually going to be where I ended up.
Nice. So I feel like family medicine can look a little bit different in different settings. I don't know about your area, but we have a bunch of like urgent cares now that are also family medicine, which are interesting. What does kind of your setup, what is a day at your job look like?
Yeah. So I work 8:30 to 5, 4 days a week. They give me Tuesdays off as like an admin day to catch up on labs and messages. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's like getting paid for 5 days to work 4 days. So that's kind of a big perk of family med. Yeah. So 8:30 to 5, I'll see anywhere from, before this huge COVID surge, I was seeing like 18 to 21 a day. Now I'm seeing upwards of 25. Last week I had a day where I saw 31, and almost all that was COVID related. So for primary care, that's a lot for a day. Most of it's telemed now. But I'll do, especially when we're not having a COVID surge, I'll see, of course, we'll do physicals, we'll do urgent care, sick visits, I'll do ER follow-ups, I'll do inpatient follow-ups, I'll do pre-ops, sports clearances. I used to do DOT physicals at my old job. I haven't done that at the new job, but that's another thing too. So I'll also do medical procedures. So I'll do, you know, draining abscesses, suturing for minor lacerations. I'll do wedge resections for ingrown toenails, birth control implants. So lots of different things. I definitely am not bored after 4 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you see kids?
I do now. Yeah. So my old job, I didn't, but now I'll see anywhere from 6 months is the youngest patient I've ever seen. And then Anyone under 6 months, usually the physician will see unless it's some sort of a emergency. And then the oldest patient I think I've ever seen is like 102 or something. So yeah. broad range.
Yes. Nice. When in your job, do you have, like, what is your level of autonomy and your level of collaboration? Is that something that you are happy with or feel kind of comfortable with?
Yeah. So, I find that I actually have a little bit more collaboration now at my new job. At my old job, the way that the insurance companies were set up, a PA could be somebody's PCP. So okay. I had a panel of, it was about 1100 patients when I finally left, and like, I was the PCP. So I was really the person making the decisions. It really, the only time I would ever involve my supervising physician was if I just didn't know what to do or if I needed advice. Whereas at the new job, because of the way the insurance is set up, the physician has to be listed as the PCP and will kind of serve sometimes as like the de facto, you know, sometimes the patient will just see us year after year after year. Yeah. But because of that, because of just the way it's set up, the mindset's a little different. You know, the physicians are ultimately responsible for the care. So there's a lot more collaboration. Sometimes I'll just go to the physician and say, hey, I saw them for this. This is what's going on. You know, do you agree? Or just letting you know, I'm probably going to send this person to the ER. Do you agree with that? And that was something I would do a lot less commonly when I was the PCP, but with the level of collaboration we have now, the physicians, because they're the PCP, they know their patients so well, they know a lot more of their history. And so it's definitely a perk. I definitely feel supported, and I've never felt, you know, silly or stupid asking a question at either job.
Nice. Yeah. That's, I think the goal environment is, you know, having that balance. Since kind of you have this nice setup with 4 days a week and you've been doing tons of mock interviews, which has been awesome. What kind of made you want to get involved with that side of things too, as far as like mentoring and helping pre-PAs? Which anytime I mention you on Instagram, everyone, I get so many, they're like, I love Peter. Peter's awesome. Like, you have so many fans. So what made you kind of reach out and want to get involved there?
Yeah. So I've always kind of enjoyed tutoring and mentoring. I mean, I was lucky when I was a student, even in college, but especially as a PA student, I had a lot of really good mentors, good preceptors. So even before reaching out to you and eventually starting with interviews, I had been, when I was in college, I was a tutor. When I was in PA school, I had mentored the class under me, you know, helping them through their own didactic years. I was always really drawn to that. I've precepted students as a PA. And so I just always, you know, I remember being in, you know, a college student getting ready to apply for PA. We didn't have all the resources that are out there now. Now there's so much valuable resources, but I definitely, you know, I think it would have been helpful to have somebody to bounce questions off of and things like that. So I'm definitely happy to try to be that resource for those students.
Yes. Well, they are very appreciative. I can tell you that. And I think, I don't know, you probably feel it too, but it's fun when we get the acceptance emails and we're like, yes, like,
yeah,
we were not a big part of this because you were already doing really great, but thank you.
I know they're always like, oh, thank you so much. You got me into PA school. And I was like, I really didn't. I spent an hour with you and you did everything else.
You did so much hard work. And I just reminded you, I feel like all I do is remind you of the hard work you did. Make it okay for you to brag on yourself. Well, thank you so much for everything you do with the students, but also for taking time to talk about your job and tell us a little bit about you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.